Hi, listeners. You can now listen to this community podcast production ad-free on Apple Podcasts and access the podcast 1 week early and get exclusive bonus content. Just hit the subscribe button now on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want access to all of the above, plus video versions of the podcast, head to patreon.com/stopthekilling.
Stop the Killing is proud to be supported by our sponsor, Easy PA. Easy PA is an integrations-capable communication software that connects older building systems, such as signage and public address systems, to modern software technologies, such as panic alarms and mass communication systems. Go to easypa.com, that's E-Z-Y-P-A.com, to learn how to integrate your systems today.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
I'm Sarah Ferris, true crime podcaster.
And I'm Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
And you're listening to Stop the Killing. Time for another bonus episode. And this one is one that has literally just happened. So tell us about the case that we're going to be talking about today.
I just wanted to tell you a little bit about a shooting that we just had here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Colorado Springs is south of Denver.
I've heard it's a beautiful area, but I feel like we've done so many episodes with mass shootings in Colorado. Like, they seem to get more than their fair share, don't they?
They really do. Part of it, I think, is it is the location for Columbine High School, which is a motivating factor for so many other shooters. I will say that Colorado Springs is a politically very conservative area. It has been forever. And this shooting that occurred just a few days ago happened at Club Q, the only LGBTQ club in Colorado Springs.
How big is Colorado Springs-ish?
Oh, hundreds of thousands, but still not as big as Denver. But the idea of having an LGBTQ friendly bar is not common in this area by any means.
And can we timestamp it as well? Because when we go to record this, it's only 2 days after the event.
It actually happened on November 19th, 2022. So it was a Saturday night, not too late, but later in the evening. And this was a very crowded bar. I think that if you've heard us talk about the Pulse nightclub shooting, where 49 people were killed in a similar type of nightclub in Orlando, Florida. So here we have Colorado Springs, a nightclub that's frequented by LGBTQ called Club Q, and it's a very popular place. There's a lot of information that's not out there yet, and a lot of investigation still to come. But we have a 22-year-old shooter, and the shooter came into Club Q with an AR-15 style assault rifle and a handgun and a lot of ammunition. And according to witnesses, walked in the door practically shooting. They've arrested the subject.
Oh, so he's alive.
He's alive. And I'll tell you how and why he's alive. All right. So first, the really horrible part. I just want to be clear that there's nothing cool or fun or glamorous or fascinating about death. It's important to say right off that we know right now 5 individuals in the bar were killed and 25 were injured. And they're still counting the numbers. And there are many of those 25 are very seriously injured.
And as we know, it's only 2 days out.
Absolutely. And I think that when I worry about the number of deaths going up, that's because the weapon that was used was an AR-15 style that has a high power velocity. And those bullets rip through people and bones and skin and do tremendous damage to not just that person, but the person standing behind them. So there are bullet fragments and pieces of all kinds of things everywhere.
And that death toll might actually...
And that death toll might go up. Exactly. Yeah.
Do we know if the assault weapon is obtained illegally or is it too early to say?
It's too early to say right now. You know, let me go back and maybe say this. The news is already telling us that he had a conflict a couple of years ago with his mother. He threatened to explode something at the house. So it turned into a bomb threat. Police responded to the house and he did own weapons at the time. So keep that in mind. And let me tell you a couple of other things. So Here's the most extraordinary thing about this situation. You've been listening to me for years harp about run, hide, fight, run, hide, fight, run, hide, fight.
Yeah.
And so many people don't want to believe in the fight part because it sounds so frightening. But the moment that this young man burst through the door and started firing at people, one of the patrons took off after him and jumped on him.
Wow.
So think about the fact that we can count 30 people who are dead or injured, which can take yes. seconds to get off the number of rounds in a weapon like that. So within seconds, one person and then another person
more than one.
Directly, yes, directly attacked the shooter as he came through the door and started shooting.
Wow. Oh my goodness. That gives me such chills down the spine. Amazing.
Yeah. If you're just listening to this, I want you to know I'm actually smiling. And I know that I shouldn't be smiling when we're talking about shooting, but it is so encouraging that after 10 years of telling people run, hide, fight, run, hide, fight. And I reflect on the size of this facility and how crowded it was and the size of the Pulse nightclub and how crowded it was. 49 dead in the Pulse nightclub, five so far here. Five is five too many. 30 people casualties is 30 too many. But the bravery of a handful of people who stepped in immediately is so encouraging. I hope it empowers people.
It'll be interesting to see how quickly those patrons reacted, if there was any hesitation, because I can't imagine there would have been much of a time frame to even have hesitation in that.
No, I think there wasn't. It's clear that whether it was 2 seconds or 5 seconds or whatever, the patrons immediately reached out to stop the shooter, which is really a great testament to those individuals who said, you're not going to control or take the life of me or my friends, which is just really wonderful to hear.
It is total heroism, isn't it? It's on a next level to know that you're actually putting yourself on the line. I would love to be able to have a chat to those amazing patrons and just see what goes on in the mind in that split second, like how long you take to ponder it, or if it's just default on fighting, no?
You know, I think though that is why the training is so important. I'll tell you something else. The FBI a couple of years ago put out a film teaching people in a bar how to enact run, hide, fight.
I've seen it.
And it is fantastic. I'm going to put a link to it on my webpage and maybe we can put that into the show notes.
I'll definitely drop it into the show notes.
The run, hide, fight video that was done by the city of Houston was done in an office building, but the FBI thought it was very important to do one in an entertainment venue, in a restaurant or a bar. So the FBI took the time to hire a professional crew to film and to walk you through what would you do in this type of environment. And it's literally this exact same type of situation. So for people who are hesitant now, I would say take a few minutes and look at that and realize that though it's a rare circumstance when it might happen, being trained is your best defense. We don't have a motive, obviously, right this moment. Certainly hatred is on the list as a possible motive, but we don't have any of that information right now, but we will. They'll gather together and find out and see whether or not there was leakage. And what really isn't, we're not even on the table here yet, is who might have seen some of those behavioral cues ahead of time and maybe could have prevented this, which helps me to circle back to something I mentioned earlier, which is that he had a conflict with his mom a couple of years ago. So this is just coming out. So this is raw data, as we would say in the research world. But this is the current reporting. A couple of years ago, police were called because he had threatened essentially a bomb threat involving some conflict with his mom. And he owned weapons at the time. So the law enforcement came. The conflict was resolved. There was no bomb. The threat was mitigated. There was no charges filed and no action taken to remove any weapons from his house.
Ooh.
So understanding weapons laws here in the United States, you don't just because something's going on, get to take every weapon out of somebody's house. Laws don't work that way here. They might in other countries, but they don't here. So here's a question for you, Sarah Ferris. What U.S. type of law might have been applied here with regard to those weapons?
Would it be the red flag law?
Bing, bing, bing. Sarah gets a stuffed animal.
Do I get a US passport for getting that one right?
Yes, you may come and visit. So yes, red flag laws or extreme risk protection orders, ERPOs. You know, there are 19 states and the District of Columbia that have ERPOs right now by my count. So these red flag laws, they are laws that allow law enforcement, mental health officials, family members to petition a court to say, hey, I'm concerned this person is going to harm himself or others. And can you please take his guns away for a little while? And that little while can be a very short time. It could be a little bit longer. But most states that have these types of laws, the amount of time you can take the weapons away, it might be 2 weeks. It might be 6 months. And Colorado itself is no different. There is a ERPO law in Colorado Springs. It's almost never been used. The political climate in Colorado Springs does not support the use of ERPOs. It's a general statement, but I think a fair statement. So the red flag law isn't used very much there. And if it had been used 2 weeks or 6 months, this is something that occurred 2 years ago.
Right. But then if it flagged up, you'd had a red flag law against you. Would that end up in some way being captured by the NICS system, the National Reporting System?
Yeah, it could. Absolutely. I like that you know that the NICS system, the National Reporting System for gun purchases. But if he already had the guns, doesn't matter.
Right,
but if he bought the guns, so I don't know when he might have bought this AR-15 style weapon.
And now a word from our sponsor.
EasyPA is an integration-capable communication software that connects older building systems, such as signage and public address systems, to modern software technologies, such as panic alarms and mass notification systems. Additional features include built-in automated bell schedules, remote access, text-to-natural voice announcements, and custom audio playlists. EasyPA is one of the only full-service public address and communications companies that has in-depth knowledge on both the hardware and software aspects of communication and evacuation-based products. As a solution-based company, they offer design, supply, installation, and maintenance of all their products. And for use in schools, EasyPA software provides multi-zone capabilities, pre-scheduled daily announcements and bells, and a remote alert button that can be accessed from anywhere in the school. Once a panic alarm is triggered, law enforcement is notified immediately. EasyPA makes schools safer from any threat. Go to EasyPA.com, that's EasyPA.com, to learn how to integrate your systems today. If you want to be a reseller or integrations partner, visit EasyPA.com to learn more. That's EasyPA.com.
Have you ever felt that pang of disappointment when you couldn't add a ticket to your collection because it was digital? Or maybe you just lost it? Well, StubForge.com is here to change that. Imagine this. Tickets that not only look but feel like the real deal, because each ticket from StubForge is printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses and printed with genuine ticket printers. It's like holding a piece of the concert, the game, or the show right in your hands. But StubForge isn't just about replacing tickets. With the easy-to-use interactive designer, you can create custom tickets for anything, from concerts to sports games, pregnancy announcements, or parties. Why not make your invitations stand out with tickets that are as unique as your event? And if you're trying to complete a back catalogue of missing tickets, StubForge offers bulk discounts to make it both easy and affordable. With StubForge, you can once more give your loved ones physical tickets and see their eyes light up instantly at the best gift you can give. So whether you're looking to reignite your ticket collection, craft the perfect gift, or send the coolest invites, head over to StubForge.com. Start creating today and see how StubForge makes every ticket a story worth saving. Visit StubForge.com and start making tickets today.
In the United States, we are clearly suffering with an increase in hate crimes. And though this has not been deemed a hate crime, it will be investigated as if it may be a hate crime. We do have a live shooter, so they'll be cautious about what they say, because there will be a prosecution. He'll be charged, I'm sure, if he hasn't already been charged today, with 5 deaths. More than anything else, what makes me really sad is that hate crime is on the rise in the United States for a bunch of reasons, for terrible reasons. And It's not just this community. In particular, the Jewish community is seeing one of the highest increases in hate crimes. They're a small percentage of our population, but a large percentage of our hate crimes that the FBI investigates. Yeah. And so my final thought about this is that I have LGBTQ members in my family. I hardly know anybody who doesn't. It's a huge community here in the States and across the world. So it's important, I think, not to say this is happening to those people, because those people are us. And today it might be at an LGBTQ bar. Tomorrow it's going to be at a synagogue. And the next day it's going to be at a Black supermarket in Buffalo, New York. So every place is a potential target by somebody who wants to hate. And we have to be better and stronger and tougher than people who hate.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to know more, Catherine's book, Stop the Killing, is out now. For more details, go to catherineschweit.com. Please consider also supporting our independently made podcast. It's simple to do. Go to patreon.com/stopthekilling. And for as little as the price of a latte a month, you can be part of the solution to stop the killing. Patreon rewards range from official do-gooder status to ad-free episodes, autographed books, and opportunities to connect with us directly for your business, school, church, or even just a book club chat. But just knowing that you are part of a movement that has the power to make your community safer, well, that's got to taste better than a skinny cappuccino any day. So please head to patreon.com/stopthekilling now and polish off your do-gooder halo, and make sure to include your name so we can give you a shout out. This podcast is a Community podcast production. That's Con with an N. If you want more content, then head over to Community Podcast at Instagram, where you'll find trailers on more binge-worthy true crime, like the award-winning podcast Conning the Con. And check out our show notes for all the links mentioned. Finally, if you want one takeaway action that you can do right now that can help make our community safer, please share, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. Everybody needs to know that they hold the keys to see something and say something. Together, we can stop the killing.
It's one of those things you hope never happens, but you better train for it, because it will happen, and it will happen in places you wouldn't expect. Be ready for it.
If you've enjoyed Stop the Killing, check out more podcasts from Community Podcast Productions, like this one.
Something is creeping in. Don't follow it down.
24 hours ago, I found out the person that I've been dating for the last 6 months is a con man.
That is my sister Emma. Andrew Tonks' lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real-life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris, and this is my story, Conning the Con.
Science, science, science! Science, science!
Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We're a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes...
Yes!
Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
So when the scammer uses the hypnotic method of building rapport, then they create dysfunctional, delusional reality.
That's how a scam begins. Convincing the mark that it makes perfect sense to hand over their money to a con artist. The Scams and Cons podcast tells you how scams are run. You'll hear how people are convinced to buy fake art, buy machines that print money, or steal your house.
I get a phone call from my wife, and she let me know that they had decided to move all our stuff out. I could no longer do anything about it except go through an eviction.
And you'll hear it from the experts. People who run the cons.
So we go to your bank, you go in and get 6,000 cash, give us each 3,000, we give you this. Uh-huh. You go home and what you find out is cut up newspaper.
It's fun to know how the trick is done, and that's what Scams and Cons is all about. Listen at scamsandcons.com or wherever fine podcasts are found.